हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोक शंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्र भाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः नमः श्री शंकरानंद गुरुपादाम्बुजन्मने श्री शंकरानंद गुरुपादाम्बुजन्मने सविलास महामोह ग्राह ग्रासैक कर्मणे तत्पादाम्बुरुहद्वन्द्व सेवा निर्मल चेतसाम् तत्पादाम्बुरुहद्वन्द्व सेवा निर्मल चेतसाम् सुखबोधाय तत्त्वस्य विवेकोऽयं विधीयते सुखबोधाय तत्त्वस्य विवेकोऽयं विधीयते शब्दस्पर्शादयो वेद्याः वैचित्र्याज्जागरे पृथक् ऐ एम जस्ट रीडिंग ओनली वन्स एंड देन आई जस्ट गोइंग टू द स्ट्रेट टू द लेटेस्ट वर्स ततो विभक्ता तत्संवित् एकरूप्यान्न भिद्यते तथा स्वप्नेत्र वेद्यन्तु न स्थिरं जागरे स्थिरम् तद्भेदोस्तस्तयो संवित् एकरूपा न विद्यते सुप्तोत्थितस्य सौषुप्त तमो बोधो भवेत् स्मृतिः सा चावबुद्धिविषया अवबुद्धम् तत्तदातमः सबोधो विषयाद्भिन्नो नबोधात् स्वप्नबोधवत् एवं स्थानत्रयेऽप्येका संवित्तद्दिनान्तरे संवित्तद्वद्दिनान्तरे मासाब्दयुगकल्पेषु गतागम्येष्वनेकधा नोदेति नास्तमेत्येका संविदेशा स्वयं प्रभा Okay, so I think we saw till the 7th verse and hereafter we can remember anyway because you have joined newly also doesn't matter but let me quickly summarize what we have seen until the 7th verse. So this first prakaranam, the first chapter actually is called Tattva Viveka Prakaranam, the chapter discussing subject matter of the discriminative knowledge of the truth. So here, how the teaching is done, how the subject matter is presented, the nature of the reality is unfolded here. So the author, Vidyaranya Swami, in these verses, unfolds the nature of the reality being Satchit Anandaha. What is the nature of the reality? Satchit Anandaha. Reality of the entire cosmos is what? Brahma. The reality of the individual self. So here, the nature of the individual self being Satchit Anandaha is unfolded in the beginning. Later on, he is going to present the nature of the reality of the whole Ishvara being Satchidanandaha. The nature of the individual self also Satchidanandaha, Satchit Anandaha. And the nature of the reality of the whole, the Ishvara, is also Satchidanandaha. Thereby he is going to make it very clear that the nature of the individual self and the nature of the total self, Paramatma, being one and the same, being non-different. This is his teaching. So here, initially, he begins his teaching with what? With the unfoldment of the nature of the individual self. And what is the nature of the individual self? Satchit Anandaha. So there, he picks up the word Chit first. Chit means consciousness or awareness or knowledge. So, the real nature of the individual self is consciousness. And later he is going to teach us how the consciousness is the existence. And how the consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, is of the nature of Anandaha, the fullness. This is how he is going to develop. So, first he teaches what now? First he says, how consciousness is the nature of the individual. When you say real nature, what is Sanskrit word for that? Swarupam. I'm really unfolding very clearly now. The real nature means swarupam, the intrinsic nature. What is real nature? What is real swarupam? What is intrinsic nature? The real nature is that which does not undergo any change at all. That which is always there. Always there means what? The real nature is something which cannot come newly, which cannot go at some time. Which is always there. Like what? Like heat in the fire. Heat is the intrinsic property of the fire. When you say, there is no time the heat comes and joins the fire, and there is no time the heat goes away from the fire. Heat is the eternal, the swarupam of the very fire. It is the everlasting swarupam. Unchanging, unchangeable nature is called what? Real nature, which is called swarupam. And here also, what is real nature here? What does not come, what does not go? Is real nature. And the real nature is also called what now? The innermost essence. The innermost essence of every being, which pervades everything else also. Otherwise is called what? Atma. So, swarupam, atma, real nature, all these words mean the same here. Therefore, here the chit, the consciousness being the innermost essence, the real nature of an individual, here is unfolded first. And he, how to arrive at the consciousness being the real nature of the self, real nature of the individual, the truth of one's own self. And he presents the avasthatraya prakriya. The prakriya used here is what? Avasthatraya prakriya. Drik drishya viveka prakriya. So the prakriya we have to see for us to arrive at the nature of the individual being consciousness. Now when you say nature, real nature, you know that which does not undergo any change. That which does not come, that which does not go, that is always there, is the real nature. Which means the body is born, It comes, it goes. Everything comes and goes. The thoughts undergo change. The thoughts undergo changes, change. The mind changes. The state of mind changes. Experiences change. The powers of sense, all the sense powers change. The conditions change. The physical body, of course, it keeps on undergoing change from the day when it is born. And it finally, now all shad vikara van deha. So, which means, therefore, the real nature is that which does not undergo any change, is the real nature. Therefore, that real nature is what? The truth of the individual, the self of the individual, otherwise called Atma, which should be referred to every time when we say, which is actually the meaning of the I, the first person singular pronoun I. So here, how to arrive at it? Here the author does not use the drik, drishyaveka prakriya. He already assumes what? You have distinguished the self from the non-self. He does not tell you how, you know, the physical body is not the Atma. He does not need to tell you. Because you know, he understands, you know, Swarupam, the real nature. You know, what is the nature of the real nature? The real nature is that which does not come and go, arrive and depart, that which is always, that which is unchanging and unchangeable is the Swarupam. Therefore, he assumes already that, you know, the physical body or the mind or the sense powers, they're all not real nature because they're all of the nature of undergoing changes. And he straightway uses the prakriya, avasthatriya prakriya. So, avasthatriya prakriya he uses, and there he takes, where can we arrive at the consciousness, chit being the real nature? Where can you arrive at it? So he says, in that context, in the waking state, jagare, for us what now? Vaichitriyaha. In waking state, we have varieties of experiences. In fact, all the experiences are also what now? Experiences means in conformity with the varieties of objects. So the innumerability or the countlessness or variety or plurality or multiplicity of the experiences is what? Based on varieties of objects outside also. But in all these experiences, last class I said very, very briefly, an experience is nothing but consciousness in association with an object is an experience. The consciousness without the object is what? Consciousness. Consciousness with an object is what? Experience. Or you can say manifest consciousness. Vyakta jnanam. So, shuddha jnanam and vyakta jnanam. The shuddha jnanam is what? Pure consciousness, we say, the reality. And vyakta jnanam, manifest consciousness, is vritti jnanam also. Knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. So, here, the plurality of experiences also. There again, we say, if consciousness in association with an object is experience, means whatever, so many experiences are there. Therefore, the so many experiences is due to the plurality of the vrittis, antakarna vrittis, not due to the plurality of consciousness, which means consciousness is one. The one and the only consciousness without which no experience is possible is not the experience but distinct from the experience. Without the presence of the light, the perception or the experience or the opaque object is not possible. Experience of the opaque object implies, presupposes the existence of the light. Is it? Minus light, there cannot be something called experience of the opaque object. Light associated with the opaque object is what? Experience of the opaque object. Light minus opaque object is what? Light. Light minus opaque object is light. Light plus opaque object is experience of the opaque object. See here, light minus opaque thing is equal to light. Light plus an opaque object, opaque thing is experience, opaque object experience. Therefore, here, a consciousness plus an inert material object is experience. A consciousness minus inert material object is what? I'm using inert material object is consciousness. So, experience means inert material or opaque, inert material object experience means what? Consciousness plus presupposes the existence of consciousness. Therefore, there's no such a thing called experience at all without the consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is always there. Therefore, he says the plurality of the experiences is due to the plurality of the objects and the vrittis, and the thoughts, whereas consciousness is one, indivisible, undivided, partless whole. That is, first he presents what? The nature of consciousness being oneness. Ekatvam. The first swarupam of consciousness is what? Ekatvam. It is one. Ekatvam. Oneness he establishes. Later on, having said that, and he goes to the next verse, he analyzes the dream experience. In the dream also, what now? Dream also is an experience, is a state of mind, and the dream experience also means what? Consciousness plus dream objects. The objects are different, therefore the experiences are different, but the source of experience, the possibility of experience, which presupposes the existence of consciousness, the consciousness is the same. The unchanging, changeless, independent, undivided, indivisible consciousness continues to be there in dream also. What is different in, what is the difference between dream and the waking state? The difference is not in any dream experience or waking experience. Any experience is consciousness plus objects. Consciousness in association with the objects is experience. Means dream experience also means what? Consciousness plus dream objects is equal to dream experience. Consciousness in association with the waking object is called waking experience. So objects have changed. The gross objects in the waking state, whereas in a dream, the subtle objects obtaining in the form of thoughts. Subtle objects obtaining in the form of thoughts in one's own mind are the objects. So consciousness in association with the dream objects is what now? Dream experience. The same consciousness, what is the deep sleep state now? The deep sleep state also, consciousness in association with what? Absence of dream objects, absence of waking objects is what? Absence of experience. Consciousness, there is also experience. The experience is of the absence. So consciousness plus the absence, isn't it? Consciousness, the absence of the experience of the objects, this experience of the absence of the objects. There's also a deep sleep state experience. Like this, he analyzes three states of experience. So the three states of mind are nothing but three states of experience. Please understand, all the time we talk about the mind. three states of mind are nothing but three states of experience, which means in all the three states of mind, in all the three states of experience, the objects vary. Therefore, we say three states of experience, but the consciousness which without which every experience, what now? Every experience, any experience is consciousness plus an object means. So, experience presupposes the existence of consciousness. In every state of experience, there is consciousness, which is one undivided, indivisible, partless whole. But what do you call three states of experience? Because the objects vary. Objects are different. Dream objects are different from the objects of deep sleep state and the waking state. Waking objects are different from the objects of dream and the deep sleep state. And the deep sleep state objects are also what? Different from the dream and the waking state objects. The deep sleep state object is what? Deep sleep state object is? Bodha, there also what now? There is knowledge. What is the knowledge of? Ignorance. Ignorance is the object of knowledge. Ajnana vrittihi. Ajnana vrittihi, sukha vrittihi. In deep sleep state also, there are objects. And what are the objects? Consciousness is association with objects. The main object is what? Ajnanam, the ignorance of the existence of one's own self, the ignorance of the existence of the world, that ignorance is what now? There is ajnanam is the object there, and that ignorance being present, the experience, there is experience of the ignorance, and which gets registered in the mind, and therefore there is a memory, and which one can recollect on waking up from sleep, and one can say what? I did not know anything. I did not know anything. Everyone can say after deep sleep state, after having slept having had a very deep sleep, sound sleep, on waking up from sleep, anyone can say what? I slept well. I did not know anything. I did not know anything. That expression, sukham aham aswapsam. I slept very well. Then, maya kimapi nagyatam. I did not know anything. That expression implies what? Ignorance being the object of experience. How, if I ask you, how do you know that you did not know anything, what will you say? I know. That expression is what? I know is what? You're having had the experience in deep sleep state. How do you say that you had the experience? You remember. Okay? It is your memory. So on waking up from sleep, you have a memory. You recollect your memory of what? The experience you had in deep sleep state, that you had not known anything at all. You did not know anything. Therefore, that is also what? That is called deep sleep state experience. Therefore, every experience presupposes what? Consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is not an object, but every experience is. Consciousness is not an experience, and every experience is consciousness. Therefore, dream experience is consciousness, deep sleep state experience is consciousness, waking experience is also what? Consciousness. Consciousness is not any of the experiences. Therefore, consciousness which obtains as the very swarupam, the truth of every experience, without whose presence, without whose blessing, the very experience is not possible, need not be experienced. The experience itself is the proof that Hare consciousness experience itself is possible because of the consciousness. So that he makes it very clear and analyzing three states of experience in the verses. You have already seen here in the third, fourth and fifth verses. Thereafter, the sixth, seventh, in the sixth and seventh, in two verses, he presents the nature of consciousness being the nature of the reality. The nature of one's own real nature being consciousness, and the consciousness being is of the nature of timelessness, eternity. So first he said what now? Changelessness. We understood. Then oneness, ekatvam. Now the timelessness implies what? Changelessness also. Timelessness. So that consciousness continues to be there in all the three states of experience without undergoing any changes. In waking, when you say, what is a day? If you analyze what 24 hours which constitute the day, what's a day for us? A day for a human being must be of three or two states of experience. Two states of experience, deep sleep state and waking state, can constitute the day, or waking dream and deep sleep state can constitute the day. You go in the whole day, 24 hours, you go through three states of experience. You fall asleep, you keep awake, you daydream or night dream, again fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, wake up. This is the day. Every day is full of what? These three states of experience constitute the day. So in the whole day is what now? Dinam ityukte avasthatraya anubhavaha. Isn't avasthatraya anubhavaha constitute the day for you? Which means in every day, in each set of experience, what is unchangingly, unchangeably, continuously, what is present, what is invariably present in all the change, variable experiences is consciousness. And that consciousness is one. Experiences are many, objects of experiences are innumerable and countless, and experiences are many, but the consciousness, because of the blessing of which experience is possible, that consciousness is one. And in undivided, indivisible, we understood. Now, the next thing what he says in these two verses, how consciousness is of the nature of eternity. It is eternal. It is of the nature of timelessness. After establishing oneness, changelessness, he continues to say about timelessness. See, changelessness is in fact timelessness also. It is there changelessly means what? It is there always in all the changing, mutually excluding and then discontinuous experiences. What is there continuously, is what? Consciousness. Which means not only this one in three states of experience, they say every day is nothing but three states of experience here. So day after day, day by day, consciousness continues to be there in all the changing states of experiences. All this changing, mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of experiences, day after day after day, day by day, what continues to be there is consciousness. And what is a month? A month is nothing but many 30 days. And what is a year? You can say 12 months or 365 days. And what is a year? Then go to yuga. What is yuga? What is kalpa? Is all what now? It is a different duration of time. Actually, there is the kalpa or yuga or varsha, abda, masa, Abdahame another word for year. In all of them actually, they change. Days change. Day changes. Another day comes. So days change. Months change. Years change. Yukalpas change. Yugas change. They keep changing. But what does not change now? The experience also change. Objects keep changing. Objects keep on changing. Experiences keep on changing. The body keeps on changing. The thoughts keep on changing. The mind changes. The time, no, changes. But what is there unchangingly is consciousness. So those two verses reveal the nature of consciousness being timelessness. Which means timeless means what now? Consciousness, even the time also is a relative. Time also is there in the waking. Time is there in dream. They said in dream experience also you have dream time and dream space. In waking there is a dream, waking there is a time and the space. And in deep sleep state is a dream time or waking time is not there. Okay, there is no time consciousness in deep sleep state. Time consciousness can be there. The time is there. The time factor enjoys the status of being existent only when there is waking universe or dream universe. So it is relative. When there is a waking experience, there is a time. That's why time is relative. Relative, time also is what? An object of knowledge. Therefore, time is also what? No. There's a time and the time is not there. Therefore, time also is subject to time. Time is subject to time limitation. Whereas consciousness, time also object of experience means consciousness. Time experience also is what? Time also object of experience. Object of knowledge means, you understand, consciousness, time exists only in consciousness. Where, okay, time does not exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, any object of experience does not enjoy the status of being existent outside of consciousness. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say now consciousness is free from time limitation also. Consciousness is always there, being aware of what now? Knowing the time being not there. Therefore, here, the time consciousness is of the nature of timelessness is established in these two verses. 7 and 8. No, sorry, 6 and 7. 6 and 7. And he says, Na udeti, na astameki, eti, eka samvitu, esha swayam prabha. Which means, the swayam prabha is another beautiful word. That which is consciousness is of the nature of self-effulgence. It shines independently. Which means, that which shines independently, that which means what? That which enjoys independent existence. So for anything to enjoy independent existence, it should not have a cause. So shines independently means it enjoys independent existence, which means it is not dependent on anything else for its existence. Why? Because it has no beginning, it has no cause. Consciousness has no cause, causeless, therefore it has no beginning. You can know? Consciousness has no beginning, though no cause, therefore it has no beginning. No beginning means what? It has no end also. Therefore, it is free from time limitation. So, being independent implies being timeless also. Being timeless implies being independent. Anything which has a cause has a beginning, therefore time bound. And consciousness alone has no beginning. Why? Because it has no cause. It has no cause, mean how do you say? Because it has independent existence. Why? Because it is of the nature of self-effulgence. Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. And consciousness is what? Chit. So, what here is, this consciousness is the real nature of the individual. We have to stop here. And therefore, the real individual means this consciousness is the swarupam of I, the truth of I. That is what we should be referring to. When we say I, we should be referring to that consciousness alone as I. Then there's no problem, isn't it? Now he says, the next thing he's going to, and his consciousness is, what now? In here, we understood one more thing here. So existence of consciousness is the existence of experience. Existence of experience is the existence of the objects. Existence of the world. So, where does the world, the existence of the world is dependent on the experience of the world. Existence presupposes the experience. Existence presupposes the knowledge. And the knowledge or experience presupposes the knowledge, the consciousness. Is it clear? Existence presupposes experience. Experience presupposes consciousness. Therefore, existence, there is no such a thing called the existence of the world. The existence enjoyed by the world is nothing but what? Consciousness, existence of consciousness. No world, no object in the world enjoy existence of its own. Therefore, existence is consciousness. The consciousness is the existence. So, chit eva sat. That also, within these verses, we understand. Now, he is going to take us to the next anandaha. Sat chit, being the sat, we understood. How anandaha, consciousness, the real nature is anandaha. Real nature, one's own truth is of the nature of anandaha, happiness, fullness. That he is going to say in the next verses. Iyamatma paranandaha. Iyamatma paranandaha. Paraprema-spadam yataha. Paraprema-spadam yataha. Manabhuvam hi bhuyasam. Bhuvam hi bhuyasam. Iti prematmanikshyate. Iti prematmanikshyate. See, iyam atma paranandaha. See, iyam here means what? Iyam is a feminine gender word. Iyam is a third person singular pronoun. Feminine gender, feminine pronoun. Atma is a masculine gender word. How does he use this word iyam atma? Means iyam samvit. Iyam is a, samvit is a feminine word. Iyam means this samvit. Iyam, you have to put within the bracket samvit. Then the word iyam is okay. Otherwise, it must have been ayam atma, you see. Iyam, ayam mean the same, not English ayam. Okay? In Sanskritam, iyam, ayam means what? Ayam also means this. Iyam also means this. Please don't take your English ayam here, okay? Iyam, I am, both mean this. Both or what? No, third person singular pronouns. So, iam is a pronoun to you to indicate a feminine, something, feminine gender, anything feminine gender. I am is for masculine gender, pronoun for masculine gender, meaning this. So, iam means this samvit, this consciousness. Iam here means what? Samvit. Iam indicates samvit, this consciousness. What is consciousness? Very self, I. The innermost essence, the immediate self, the nearest self. What is nearest to you is the nearest self, isn't it? What is nearest to you? The self. Yourself. You are nearest to yourself. What are you now? Consciousness. That's why he says, this consciousness, the innermost essence, the nearest self, indicated by the first person singular pronoun, I. Okay? For iam samvit, this consciousness is what? Atma. Iam atma means this consciousness, iam samvideva atma. This pure consciousness is the atma. Atma means what? The real nature. The all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence. Therefore, the real nature of the individual, yam samvite atma, is what? Paranandaha. Paranandaha means is of the nature of absolute happiness. Absolute happiness. Fullness. So, you can say exalted, you can say fullness, happiness. How do we say Atma is of the nature of happiness? Simply if you say Atma, the self, the real nature of one's own self. No, the consciousness is of the nature of fullness, is of the nature of happiness. How can we say that Atma is the nature of happiness? Consciousness is of the nature of consciousness, Atma, the real nature, is of the nature of happiness. How do we say? He says, he gives a logic here. We always love things, you know. We always love things which are of the nature of, which are the sources of happiness. We always like things which make us happy. We love people, we love objects, we love food, we love things which make us happy, which pleases. It is not possible for us to like something, love something which makes us unhappy. If you ask, who do you like, what do you like, would you like something which makes you unhappy? Would you like somebody who makes you unhappy? Would you like a place to like you make you unhappy? Anything which makes us unhappy, anything which displeases us, we do not like, we do not love, we hate. We love, we like anything which makes us happy. It's a simple thing, isn't it? We love things only which make us happy. Therefore, here he says, we love things only which make us happy, and then we all love ourselves the most. All of us love ourselves the most. See the logic, huh? Beautiful. We all love our own selves the most. Don't say, I love my child more than myself. Don't say that, okay? That's all wrong. What here is, the truth is what? We all love ourselves the most. Therefore, the logic is, because I love myself the most, definitely I must be of the source of happiness. The logic starts like this. We always love objects and things and people in the world who make us happy. Okay, therefore, I love myself, but now I love myself the most, therefore, myself must be of the source of happiness. The next question comes, how do we say that we love ourselves the most? How do you say that I love myself the most? If you ask, I don't need to say he says, all the time there is, in the deep heart, the deep down in every mind, there is a desire for long life. May I live always. May I not disappear. May I be there always. Why? There's a desire for the longest existence of one's own self is always there. Desire for the longest existence of one's own self is there. In terms of what now? He says very beautifully, Mana Bhuvam Hi Bhuyasam. Mana Bhuvam means what? May not become non-existent. May I be there forever. I want to live long. I want to be there forever. This desire for longest life. Desire for continuous existence. Desire for endless existence is there. Why? The desire for endless existence of one's own self, desire for longevity, desire for longest life, may I be there always, may not disappear from this world, may I live long forever. The desire for longest life is the proof that everyone loves one's own self. That loving one's own self in the most is the proof for what? One's own nature being happiness. One's own sarupam being happiness. And suppose some people may object, no, I don't want to live long, I want to die. Actually, why do people commit suicide and all that? I don't think they really love themselves, that's why they commit suicide. That's not true. If everything is proper, if you are blessed with a good health, no back pain, no front pain, no headache, no fever, no sneezing, and good friends and good neighbors, and everything is good. Bhagawan fills the life with full of pleasures. Only in the path of opposite, he removes the opposite, undesirable end. Only desirable ends in life. Full of pleasures. Life is full of pleasures and successes and profits and gains and no honors. Means, who will love to die? Really speaking, if at all somebody wants to die also, that is because of love for happiness. When somebody goes through pain in life, they don't know how to get rid of the pain. They have the wrong understanding that death will be the solution for them to escape from pain. people want to die when? Either they commit suicide or they want mercy killing. Go to some European country where they kill people, man. People go travel all day, book the ticket, go and want to get killed. No, mercy killing. They want to get killed. Why? I can't bear this pain suffering. Again, what? In escape, they seek happiness. Is it? But getting rid of the pain through death. For them, death also, they love death because they think death is going to make them happy. It is right, end is right, but wrong means. Searching for happiness is very natural. Searching for freedom from pain, sorrow is very natural. But seeking death as the means of attainment of happiness is what? The wrong means for the right end. Therefore, he says, really speaking, nobody really wants to die. Everybody wants what? Everybody wants to live long. Never will they say no. And Pooja Swamiji, in his own humorous way, he'll tell. And Yama Dharmaraja comes to your doorstep and asks you, are you ready to come? Yeah, but still, why you come now? No, my grandson's wedding is there next month. Maybe I can wait. Why don't you wait for me? And then, he allows you to wait for next month for you to enjoy your grandson's wedding. And he comes next month. Now, definitely I have to take you. See, it is very not right for you to come now. I think it's better let me see my grandson's great-grandbaby, then let me come. Because it was so nice, everything. No, now my grandson has bought a new car, and I had to travel by that car. I had to be there for some more time. My God, nice time. I'm quite healthy. Why should I go now? When everything is conducive and enjoyable and pleasant and nice, nobody will like to go. Now, what we say is, what is the lesson here is, in the heart of every human being, there is a desire for longevity, longest life. In a way, they never want their life to come to an end at all. Nobody wants their life to come to an end. So unfortunate. Every time the body goes, for us, life is going to be there continuously, but in a different place. That's an unfortunate thing, isn't it? Nobody wants to die. Satyam, this is Satyam. Nobody wants to die. Nobody likes death. This is the fact. Death is the most undesirable thing. Nobody, because there's death means there's no life, means there's no experience, there's no enjoyment. So nobody wants to die. Therefore, I want to live long forever. I want to have the endless, continuous existence of myself. I want to be there for always here. That desire for longest life is the proof that everyone loves one's own self the most. How do I want to live long? That proves what? I love myself the most. Therefore, what now? Anything, the love is always for things which make us happy. And I love myself the most. Therefore, I must be of the source of happiness. If I am not of the source of happiness, then definitely the love for my own self is not possible. Is it clear now? The three things I have to live. I want to live long. My desire for long life is the proof that I love myself the most. And because I love myself the most, I must be of the source of happiness. And this he makes it very clear. Iyam samvit atma paranandaha. This consciousness is the innermost essence. All pervasive innermost essence, the real nature, and which is of the nature of absolute happiness. Why? Because para prema aspadam yataha. Because why do we say atma is of the nature of happiness? Yataha, because Paraprema-aspadam. Paraprema-aspadam. Paramaprema-aspadam. Prema-aspadam. Paramaprema-aspadam, which is the object of love. Atma is the most loved. Because, how do you say Atma is the most lovable thing for oneself? Ma na bhuvam, may I not be not there, may I be there always. Hi bhuyasam, may I be there always. So ma na bhuvam, may I never cease to be, may I not become non-existent at all. Bhuyasam, may I be there forever. Iti prema, the love for long life, iti prema atmani ikshate. This love for one's own self is understood through one's desire for long life. Ikshate, it's understood, is known. Therefore, what? Atma is the source, absolute source of happiness. Atma is of the nature of happiness. Now, we explained what now? The Jivatma Swarupam being the consciousness which is the which obtaining from the existence of everything here, and the consciousness is of the nature of happiness. He finishes here, and later on, to help us understand definitely, Atma is the only source of happiness. First he says Atma is the source of happiness. Atma is of the nature of happiness. Later on he says, in fact, in this world there's nothing other than Atma is the source of happiness. There are two ways of understanding. When you say Atma is of the nature of happiness, now Atma is of Ananda Swarupaha. Okay. Is there anything else other than Atma which is also source of happiness? No. That is made very clear in the following verses. It is not enough if you simply understand Atma is of the nature of happiness. The most important thing what we should know is there is nothing other than Atma which is of the nature of happiness. So that we will not go in search of happiness towards anything else. Isn't it? A very important thing, most important thing is, more important here is, knowing Atma is of the nature of happiness is one thing. But nothing other than Atma is the nature of happiness. Nothing in the world, nothing else is a source of happiness here. So you are the source of happiness. You are happiness. And what you are seeking through all your artha, kama, dharma pursuit is happiness. And that happiness is the one thing which you need not search for, you need not work for, you have to only take ownership of the happiness as your own real nature by discovering it as your swarupam. Okay, for everything else you need to work for in this world, but for happiness you not work for. Why? It is yourself, your very nature. Nothing else is a source of happiness also. That he is going to make clear in the following verses. And he is going to say some bitter facts. You know that? See, we'll see that now. Tat prema atmartham anyatra. Tat prema atmartham anyatra. Naiva manyartham atmanaha. Naiva manyartham atmanaha. Atastat paramam tena. Atastat paramam tena. Paramanandat atmanaha. Paramanandat atmanaha. Tat prematmartham anyatra. Tat prematmartham anyatra. Naiva manyartham atmanaha. Manyartham atmanaha. He says, tat prema. If at all you say, that love, how do you know Atma is the only source of happiness, nothing else is the source of happiness, how do you understand? He says, even if you say, I love somebody, I love my daughter, I love my son, I love my husband, I love my wife, I love my friends, I love these things, I love this, I love that, I love. Love for anything or anybody in the world is a fake love. is not real love. That's what I said, bitter truth, okay? Bitter fact. It's a fact, but it's a bitter. My God. No, then, no, that's why always Shastam says what? If at all there any closeness in relationship, intimacy, in any, you know, with anybody, closeness, relationship, really what? No, if it is based, you know, based on commitment to dharma, that will last forever. The closeness between two people or many people, relationship with between anybody will last forever only if our commitment, our relationship is based on our commitment to dharma. That is real close friendship. Otherwise, the love now is a humbug. So he says here what? No, I'm not saying. He says here very clearly, look at this. Tat prema, that love, tat prema anyatra, anyatra. That love you talk about all the time, you know, for others. Anyatra means what now? Other, anybody, anything other than yourself. Anyatra means somewhere. The love you have anywhere else means what? The love you have towards anything or anybody in the world other than yourself is actually, ultimately, the love for yourself. The love for one's own self alone is actually in the form of love for others. There is no such a thing called love for anything is ultimately, is the what? No, love for one's own self. I love my children, I look after them well, I care for them, I see that they study well, I see that they do well. Of course, it's our duty, we had to do their projects. We 100% wish them all, everything well. But you have to see, why do you want your children to do well? Why do you want your husband to be good, wife to be good? The children must be happy. Why? Because they should study well, they should do well, they should... Because only if they do well, you can be happy. What you ultimately seeking is what? Your happiness. Therefore, Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. Everything is desirable, enjoyable, lovable. Why? Because for my own happiness. That's why Pujya Swamiji made so clear, even when he talked to discusses the topic of dharma. Under the topic of dharma comes what now? Service to the society. Seva, Jana Seva, Jagannatha Seva. No? Makkal Seviye Maheshan Seva. Naraseva, Narayana Seva. The service society is very, very good. This is a dharma. You see, it will help us earn punyam, help us utilize the raga dveshas, help us live a life in conformity with dharma, the order. Fantastic. We should live. We should serve society. We should live like a dharma. That's fantastic. But one thing we should understand, by doing those things, what we do is, we are doing it for our own happiness. Anything you do for the sake of anybody else is ultimately for the sake of your happiness. For the sake of, we say this now, for the sake of. I do it for the sake of my children, for the sake of my wife. In fact, we do it anything and everything for the sake of anybody, ultimately for the sake of our own happiness. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati is the most, no, really, it's the bitter, bitter, bitter fact. Isn't it? Nobody does anything for the sake of others. Of course, we do everything for the sake of others because ultimately what is that you expect? Your peace and happiness. Therefore, he says, tat prema, that love you show, you have for anything else, anywhere else, that your love expressed anywhere else is ultimately for what? Atmartham, for the sake, for your own sake. Na evam anyartham atmanaha. Na anyartham, definitely, atmanaha, the one's own love expressed anywhere else, towards anybody else, is not for the other people, for the sake of others, but for the sake of one's own self. You love yourself. You love yourself. Therefore, your love expressed for others also is ultimately for your own self only. Ataha tat paramam tena paramanandata atmanaha. Therefore what now? Love for anything else in the world also is ultimately for, is what now? Love for one's own self only. Therefore, one's atma, the chit, the real nature of one's own self is of the nature of what? One's own real nature is happiness. One's own swarupam is happiness. He's a proof. Again, he says, you are the source of happiness. The nothing, you can say, no. You say, who anything we love also is source of happiness. You know, anything we love is also happiness. So you can say, what? No. They are also of the source of, you may mistake it. But really speaking, whomever we love also, that love also is what? Love for one's own self. Love for anything in the world is love for one's own self. You have to repeat this. Love for anybody in the world, a love for anything in the world, is ultimately love for one's own self. Which means, really, there is no real love for anything in the world. Not anybody in the world. Love is for one's own self. Therefore, one's own self must be of the nature of happiness. Ultimately, love is for happiness. Love is for fullness. Love is for peace of mind. Therefore, love is for one's own self. Therefore, love for anybody else in the world is only actually you, ultimately for one's own self. Therefore, there is no second source of happiness other than Atma. Atma is the only source of happiness. Now, he concludes here. Ittam sachit parananda. Ittam sachit parananda. Atma. Yuk. Tyatatha vidham, param brahma, tayoschaikyam, shrutyante shupadishyate. He says, you're going to see beautiful, beautiful verse are going to follow later on. Itham, in this manner, Satchit Paranandaha Atma. See, Yuktya means what now? Yuktya means logically, with reasoning. Yuktihi means logic, reasoning. Yuktya, no, with reasoning, logically, adverb here. Atma, the innermost essence of the individual being, which is also of the nature of all pervasiveness, the real nature of the individual being, consciousness, existence and happiness has been arrived at logically, with reasoning. You don't simply say, oh, Atma is the nature of fullness. No, he explains how, why Atma is of the nature of happiness. He explained very clearly. You can't deny whatever he said, whatever the teachings say. It's not, see, whatever Vidyaranya Swami presents here, it is very well understood, Shastra's vision. this is the Shastra's vision comes through the words of Vidyaranya Swami. And this is absolutely logical. You cannot deny this at all. Atma is of the source of happiness. You are of the nature of happiness. You are happiness. Your real nature is consciousness. And consciousness and happiness are not two different things. Consciousness is the existence. Consciousness is the happiness. Is of the nature of happiness. Swarupam. Therefore, you are of the nature of Satchidanandaha. You are Satchit Ananda Atma. You are Satchidanandaha. When the Shastra says, so definitely you may deny, but here you cannot deny at all. Why? Because in this unfold method of unfoldment, nothing contradicts your reasoning. Is there anything which contradicts your reasoning? No, from the first step onwards, take that first step. He takes the chitta first. Understanding one's own real nature being Achyudanandaha, consciousness, existence, fullness, you have to always take first what? Chitta, the consciousness, not the existence. Because consciousness is arrived at as the truth of one's own self. And there is a methodology also. So this Drik Drishiveka Prakriya, afterwards, even though it is not presented here, then this Avasthatriya Prakriya helps you distinguish the consciousness, obtaining as the very experiencer, as the very Swarupam of I. Thereafter, that consciousness being the existence. There is no existence of anything other than consciousness. Then, the last he said, that consciousness which is the existence, obtained from existence of everything here, is of the nature of fullness, happiness. To understand happiness, he again uses the steps. Happiness is always, we love objects only which make us happy. Anything which is a source of happiness. And here we love ourselves the most. Therefore, Atma must be of the source of happiness. And there again, how do you know the Atma? We love Atma because there's a desire for long life. The desire for the longest existence of one's own self is the proof that one loves oneself the most. If you don't like somebody, see in those days, In the Puranas talk about the kings and all, when a lot of adharmis were there, people did not like their existence. My God, Bhagavan should really kill them. Why do these people exist? Because all the time adharmis, the highly righteous kings, highly righteous kings, who are committed to this, the duty in terms of protecting the dharma, protecting the people who live in people, harmonious life, harmony, the life of the citizens of the society. Then the kings used to do some karma. There were some rituals, for undoing the non-righteous people. Stambanam, Uchadram, here some karmas are also there. When they cannot handle these fellows who are highly atrocious, then what to do? They perform special rituals and special prayers they do. Hey Bhagavan, please come and somehow undo adharma, take these people away. Which means we say that. Which means, who do we love? If Atma is a source of unhappiness, do you think you would love to live forever? No. The very love for the long life itself, the desire for the longest life is one's own self, is a proof that one loves oneself the most. Therefore, one's own self must be the source of happiness. There is no second source of happiness at all. Adhanatma. So logically he helps you arrive at the fact of the one's own real nature being consciousness, existence and happiness. And how? Yuktya means logically, with through reasoning. In the same way, now he says, the truth of the whole universe, Param Brahma. In Upanishads, Shrutyanteshu means in the Upanishads, in the same way, logically, reasoning, we have to arrive at the nature of the reality of the whole cosmos being the same also, we understand with the help of the scriptures. See, you used your reasoning to arrive at the nature of yourself being Satchidanandaha with the help of the Shastram. But you arrive at the nature of the truth of the whole being Satchidanandaha with the help of the Shastram. There you don't need to use your reasoning. Jagataha, the truth of the whole also, Satchidanandam Brahma, the limitless reality is what? Consciousness, existence, fullness is the nature of the reality of the whole. That we understand how? With the help of the Shastram, scripture. There we don't use logic, reasoning much. But the same Satchidanandaha, the consciousness, existence, fullness, being the nature of the reality of the whole, the same nature being the nature of one's own self, we arrive at arrive at logically with the help of the Shastram. That's what he says. Tayohocha Aikyam. Thereby, we understand Aikyam, oneness of the truth of the individual and the truth of the whole. Tayohocha Aikyam. Oneness of the truth of the individual and the total whole, Param Brahma. Also what? It's unfolded in the Upanishads. And which we will see the next class. But before going, I wanted to tell you one thing. It is something which you need to remember in this context. The following verse we will see next class. Okay? But now you have understood this much. There is Atma is the source of happiness. We love Atma. Atma must be the source of happiness. And there is nothing else other than Atma which is a source of happiness. Another fact. But here, every time we say, that is why we say there is no other object a source of happiness. Why do we say? Because whenever we are happy, in the sense we are pleased. We are pleased when there is no experience of pain. Which means we are experiencing some pleasure. So what is a pleasure? What is a pleasure here? Pleasure also, pleasure, so I eat ice cream, then I am pleased. There's a pleasure. The joy of, pleasure of enjoying the ice cream, joy of watching a television serial, it's a pleasure of being with the friends, pleasure of going out for a picnic, pleasure, the pleasure of doing so many things, eating with friends or eating something or going out and then doing something or other, the pleasure of being, doing something, being something, that pleasure we talk about all the time. What is pleasure? That is why we love to do that. We want to fix that, we have that, we want to go for a picnic or excursion or that, or do this and eat that. So many things we do. Why? Because there is a pleasure. We love pleasure. And what do we mean by the word pleasure? What is pleasure? What is happiness? The difference between happiness and pleasure we have to understand here. See, happiness is a synonym of the word fullness, which is our real nature, which is not a state of mind. Whereas pleasure is a state of mind. The state of mind, which is there for a length of time. Pleasure is time bound. Happiness is timeless. Because happiness does not come, does not go, does not change. Happiness is of the nature of timelessness. Because it is very swarupam. Whereas pleasure is time bound in nature. Pleasure comes, pleasure goes. And the pleasure is what? No, state of mind. Happiness is not a state of mind. Happiness is swarupam. Pleasure is a state of mind, which has time limitation. It is time bound in nature. It is not permanent. And this pleasure is happiness. Whereas happiness is not pleasure. Any pleasure you experience is what? Fraction, experience of the fraction of fullness. Pleasure is fraction of fullness, which is happiness. Pleasure is the experience of the fraction of happiness, the fullness. So happiness is fullness, pleasure is fraction. Fraction, a bit, isn't it? In Swamiji's words, pleasure is a chip of a potato. Nice, isn't it? Chip of a potato. It's a fraction of fullness. And for happiness, even happiness being a swarupam, for happiness to be there, no object is required. Happiness is not dependent on the experience of any object to be there. Whereas pleasure is dependent on the experience of some object or the other to be there. Now the question is, therefore, this is the difference between pleasure and happiness. So what this blessed happiness is? We say, see, whenever we think, we mistake, whether it is ice cream or a television serial or something, a movie, or the company of friends or company of woman, company of man or company of people or friends or like-minded people, company of, sometimes always the company also so much sought for what? For pleasure. Because you cannot be by yourself. Therefore, whatever is the pleasure, I'm not saying you should not have companion, okay? Companionship is a must. But I'm saying don't be dependent on that pleasure. That's what I'm saying. So pleasure actually is what? No, whenever you're enjoying a given object, let me take ice cream. That's the simplest example. Okay, I don't like ice cream. For me, it's not a great object of pleasure. But still, I'm telling you. Okay, for me, the puran poli is my object of pleasure. But still, I can just tell you an example. Or dodalu, my object of pleasure. Not ice cream. But still, I can tell you here, different varieties, people have their own objects of pleasure, isn't it? So here, that when you're experiencing, enjoying that objects in terms of watching something, television serial, seriously are watching, completely engrossed in the story of a hero and a hero in the family life, you are part of the story of the family, the hero, hero in the family, you are there, completely you are there. You're watching what happens. The total attention of your mind is grabbed. The Purna TV serial dhyanam. You know, the mind attention is totally held by what? The serial, the story. You forget your own, your eyes, you forget your ears, you forget your own body, you forget the people around, you forget the relations, you forget the people, you know. That too, the Master Chef program also comes sometimes. People watch carefully and the whole jagat, they forget who is going to be the winner, next winner, whose ice cream is going to, whose chocolate is going to be the best chocolate, you know, or whatever they cook, they make. So the whole jagat is forgotten for you, which means, in fact, you forget yourself. So whenever you are enjoying any object in terms of food or something or watching or anything, you forget, you know, the best of the enjoyment of the anything, object, the best enjoyment of the object means you forget yourself. An object should make you forget yourself. In enjoying which you forget yourself, that is the best enjoyment. You forget yourself. When you forget yourself, the ahankara is resolved temporarily for some time. As long as you are watching other people, heroine's problem, totally engrossed in watching that story, the teleserial or something, then you forget yourself means you forget all about yourself, your ahankara is resolved, I sense is resolved. That time you have no identity with the body, mind, sense complex. So there's no smallness, is nothing in the, your smallness can be triggered also. Nothing can trigger your smallness. Therefore, what happens? Then ahankara is resolved, therefore there's no I sense. You forget yourself, nothing your can trigger your smallness, send on I. The fundamental problem does not rise. For some time that problem is kept dormant. Therefore, what happened? That state, then there is no pain. The state of mind, when the ahankara is resolved for some time, when one forgets one's own self, nothing can trigger one's the fundamental problem of smallness centered on I. Therefore, there is no pain. That painlessness is what? The smallness is not there, for no resolved, therefore no pain, that state is called pleasure. Again, when you come out of the teleserial, come back to your day-to-day life, again ahankara, what now, identity comes, identity with the body when sense complex comes, then the situation will trigger the smallness from you, again what the pain comes, then the pleasure goes. This is a vritti, isn't it? That's why there is no such a thing called in the flat pleasure also. Every time you forget yourself, there is what? Manifestation of your swarupam, which is a fraction of fullness, happiness. So any pleasure you experience through the enjoyment of any object is what? Is nothing but manifestation of fraction of happiness, which is yourself. In pleasure, you are just yourself. But it is not permanent because it's ajnana sahitam. Still, ajnanam is there. That's why that object goes away, then your attention is distracted. Then again the smallness comes back, again situation changes. Therefore the object is not a source of happiness. It is what? Every time that object holds your attention, object helps you, what now? To hold your attention. Every time your attention is held totally, you forget yourself, then the smallness is forgotten, therefore, there is a time, there is a manifestation of fraction of fullness, happiness, which is pleasure. So pleasure is what? Every wave is water, ocean. Similarly, here the pleasure is happiness only. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is happiness, pleasure. Manifestation of fullness is happiness. Manifestation of fraction of fullness is what? Pleasure. For pleasure is happiness, fullness, but happiness is not pleasure. But we are trying to search for happiness in pleasure. That's the problem. If you can understand, pleasure is happiness, but happiness can never be arrived at through the pleasure. Therefore, there's nothing which is a source of happiness here. You are the only source of happiness. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rabhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Iyam Samvit Atma Paranandaha. Yam Samvite Atma Paranandaha. You have to remember this. There is no remember this thing. So I really pray to Bhagavan to bless us all with the vision of our own nature being happiness. You are blessed with the vision of our own self being happiness, and you are happiness. There's no dukkham at all. That is moksha. So Bhagavan bless all with the vision of what happiness is. Vision of happiness as our own self. Om.